Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, talking more about this Los Angeles Dodgers series and how the Rockies are stacking up, because I would venture a guess that from watching these games, they're hanging in there a lot more than I think previous series and during the Bud Black era of 2025. These games have been a little bit more competitive, and yes, the Dodgers are clearly in a much better class, even when they're not playing their best, but it's been a little bit more interesting. It's been worth sticking around and watching a full game, even when the Rockies are down early. I've got plenty to talk about with Otani, some good news in regards to Kyle Freeland, an update on Ezekiel Tovar, the All-Star Game voting update, and a lot more. But that Tuesday night's game was so interesting because they got ahead early, 2-0. And Herman Marquez was looking fantastic. He had 5 strikeouts to his first 10 outs and was looking really solid. And the Rockies not only just hung in there, but they got a goose egg, a zero in the top of the first against the top of the Dodgers lineup. Yeah, that did include a drive to center field. I'm not sure how far that ball went. Oh, it was 399 to center field, and it would have donged in 6 ballparks, including Dodger Stadium, but it was an out. It was an F8 into the glove of Brenton Doyle to start the game on Tuesday. And then in the bottom of that inning, you have Hunter Goodman singling. He was batting second in that game. And then Michael Tolia coming up with a 2-out double. And the Rockies are up early just like that. They strand a leadoff single at the bottom of the second inning, leadoff single by Ryan McMahon. But then they are able to score in the third inning with a single from Jordan Beck and another RBI double from Michael Tolia, who ended up having 3 doubles on the game, only struck out once. Unfortunately, this was where the Rockies just couldn't hold on. Everything went wrong for them in a 6-run fourth where Herman Marquez looked a lot more human. And Tolia had the 2 errors. There was also a miscue where he threw home instead of taking the out at first base. Now, a good throw probably would have caught the runner at home. Schaefer didn't really have a problem with it. Goodman saved a very poor throw. So that could have even been an error. Could have been 3 doubles, 3 errors for Michael Tolia, but only 2 errors. 2 of those runs ended up being unearned. The second official error by Tolia, Marquez came off the mound and you saw him crumple to the ground. He twisted his right ankle. Trainers checked on him. He was able to finish the inning. They took him out sort of as a precautionary measure, sort of, you know, because of where he was at in his pitch count by that point. So they erred on the side of caution. Doesn't seem like there's a major concern with this right ankle injury that Marquez sustained on Tuesday night. So he should be good to go. But even after it was 6-2 Dodgers, the Rockies chipped away for a run in the fifth inning off a sacrifice fly by Tyro Estrada, who hasn't had a ton of RBI or RBI opportunities, really. So he's been hitting a lot better, getting himself a little closer to 300 on the season. He was 1-for-3. And just when it seemed like, you know, maybe the Rockies can slowly chip away and at least make it interesting, because they definitely did. And I did ask Warren Schaefer post-game if he thought, you know, this was a game they should have won. And he didn't bite on. He said, not necessarily, because of, you know, the poor play defensively and some other miscues. It wasn't necessarily a game they should have won, but in the top of the sixth, Ohtani did end up homering 373 feet to left field, 27th of the season, extends his lead in the National League for most home runs. It also set a new record for most dingers out of the leadoff spot before the All-Star break, snapping Brady Anderson's record from 1996 when he was with the Orioles. And a couple cool things with this one. I didn't realize until after the game that was Ohtani's 300th home run as a professional. Had 48 when he was with the Nippon Ham Fighters. And this was home run number 252 in the majors. I actually caught that on video, so you can see that over on the Rockies Insider channel on YouTube. And the fan that caught the ball was indeed a Rockies fan. It was the first time she had ever gotten a ball or caught a home run ball at Coors Field, despite sitting out there for a while. Her name is Emily, and I've sort of known her in a roundabout way, like, you know, people in the community since she was a kid. I can remember even in 2018 when I was doing play-by-play calling the Boulder Collegians games, she would come there with her dad, and she was just a hardcore baseball fan and still remains to this day. So it was neat seeing on social media that she was interviewed by the Japanese press. I'm not sure if she gave the ball back. I imagine she might have and orchestrated some kind of deal. I'll have to find out and try to get a little more information regarding that. But that was really cool to see that it, you know, it does happen at Coors Field, and it's a Rockies fan, a real true Rockies fan who catches that ball. So that was so awesome. It felt like the spectacle of Ohtani. I don't know if that it's died down, or maybe it's just become the norm. Like, there was so much press, so much folks coming in from LA who cover the Dodgers or cover Ohtani. I was able to have a cool conversation with one of the Japanese reporters. I talked to him last year, and we caught up again this year, and it was great because it was so humid, it was so muggy on that Tuesday game, and the temperature started to drop. It was a lot more comfortable. It was raining lightly. And we were just talking baseball with the Dodgers fans crowding in behind the dugout and them taking batting practice with the music playing. It wasn't too loud. It was a pure moment that I will definitely be cherishing and not forgetting anytime soon. But I think because we've just experienced this for so long now that it's just kind of commonplace to know that there's going to be a parade, there's going to be a carnival. That's a better descriptor of it. And that, you know, just get used to that. So the press box is a little more packed. The crowd was not more packed. It was only 36,000 that was there for the first game of the series. So a little bit less than what I would have anticipated. So I think the Rockies, they got a schedule that they liked a lot, because sure, Dodgers on the weekend, you're going to sell out. You would have thought that Dodgers during the week, you also would have sold out in the summertime. And yet that hasn't been the case. So is that backfiring? You know, I don't know, not necessarily. But we're sort of used to that, the whole carnival that comes to town with Shohei Ohtani. Security was a little bit slight, a little more strict. After batting practice, media was not able to go down through the visiting dugout tunnel where the Dodgers clubhouse is. We normally are, but they tighten up their security a little bit. That's fine. It doesn't bother me none, but that was a little bit different. And, you know, even in the pregame scrum with Dave Roberts, he was asked about, you know, being the leading vote getter with the latest update for the All-Star game voting. We will get the results today. You'll get the results, I think, 10 a.m. on Thursday. Today you'll get those results, who is in the top two of phase one, and then we've got about a week where you can vote to decide who starts the All-Star game. But Roberts asked about, you know, will Ohtani be leading off for the All-Star game? Yeah. Will he be pitching in the game, which hadn't fathomed, hadn't thought that far ahead? And the answer was actually no. And I liked this decision for a few reasons. One, okay, you know, it's an exhibition game and Ohtani is working on something. So I don't even know that he is in a good place to pitch in the All-Star game and to represent himself. Because if he's working on some things, you don't want him coming in and like walking three consecutive batters or walking two, you know, giving up a fly ball. Okay, he gets an out and then he walks another one and then he hits a batter and then he gives up a home run. That's not good for anybody. So, okay. And I also like that he won't be pitching because he hasn't earned a spot on the pitching staff in the National League this year with only his two outings. So I was fine with that. Will he participate in the Derby? Dave Roberts said, you'll have to ask him. On the Rockies side of things, Kyle Freeland spoke with him. His bullpen went great, so he's all set to start in Milwaukee on Friday. Ezekiel Tovar, unfortunately, still a ways off with that hip contusion. He's been at the ballpark. He's been in the clubhouse. Baseball activities still limited, but Schaefer saying, quote, a ways off. Still don't think there's going to be any rush to get him back. He's doing all the right things to get himself back and to recover, but just still not there yet. And Ryan Ritter's been playing well. I wouldn't say he's been playing great, but he's been playing well enough. I don't think he's made an error. He's looked strong defensively. He's doing enough of the little things well. Striking out maybe more than you would like. Okay. But you know, we've also seen a little bit of pop in that bat as he awaits for that first home run. But also in the pregame scrum, talking about Tyler Freeman and a video that you should be able to see over on the Rockies Insider page on YouTube, Schaefer talking about his thought process for lineup construction, because, you know, Tyler Freeman, we're seeing him at the top of the lineup, which was something that Schaefer himself admitted. I didn't necessarily expect that to happen because he liked Freeman at the bottom of the order, making contact, having that double leadoff spot. But with nobody else really doing that capably at the top of the order, okay, let's have Freeman hit leadoff and then we'll slide Jordan Beck down to the third spot. And I think that's, you know, lengthen the lineup just a little bit. Sure, if you've got a guy batting 300 with an 11 game hitting streak, batting ninth, that feels like a lengthened lineup, but you've got to get through 6, 7, and 8, which, you know, have been a real dry spot for the Rockies to get there. I wouldn't say that that's really lengthening the lineup. So Goodman batting second, we've now seen. So Schaefer moving some guys around. And I actually thought that he liked that a little bit, keeping guys, and I don't want to say keeping them on their toes, but moving guys around, having some flexibility in the lineup for guys to get used to that, come to the ballpark ready for anything. That's certainly something that is the case for a lot of teams on the defensive side of the spectrum. But no, Schaefer said, I prefer it to be when guys have a specific spot in the order that they know they're going to be. So we haven't necessarily seen that right now in their lineup. There's definitely been a lot of movement, some guys more drastically than others, some just moving up and down a spot. I mean, we've been seeing Brendan Doyle now even batting seventh in the lineup to take a little pressure off of him as he continues to struggle at the plate. But, you know, rule of thumb is in baseball, you want guys to get comfortable, know where they're going to be so they can settle into more of a rhythm and have some more success. Rockies, unfortunately, haven't been able to tap into that despite the fact that they want to. And Warren Schaefer wants that. I also asked Schaefer if he thought building something and creating a certain level of success, certain level of tremendous success that the Dodgers have, if that was an impossibility. And you can see that over on the Rockies Insider page and get a little bit more detail than what I'll about to say. But, you know, he said, yeah, we can do that. He disagreed with the fact that it's an impossibility for them to ever get there forever. Not necessarily what I was asking, but the Dodgers just have so many resources that it is impossible, I think, for the Rockies to build what the Dodgers have. It is impossible. But if you take that financial flexibility and the powerhouse that they are financially as an organization, partially because of the market that they're in. A lot of it has to do with their business decisions as well. But if you take that part out, can the Rockies duplicate what the Dodgers have? I think they could. Schaefer said that they could. Schaefer said that it will happen. I don't think it will happen. I know it. I know enough to know that we all know it. That's not going to happen. Partially because the financial component of this is everything. You can just invest more in every aspect of an organization, not just the player acquisition, but player evaluation, player development, player scouting. All of that is everything. And when you don't have those same finances, it doesn't mean it's impossible that you can't match what an organization like the Dodgers do on a season-to-season basis. I mean, look, the Dodgers have one World Series in a 162-game season over nearly the last 30 years. So there are teams that are as good, if not better, than the Dodgers in a given season. That's why you play the games. But all of the other things that are going on behind the scenes, it isn't a possibility for the Rockies to do that. Schaefer thinks, no, I think we could. Some other notes for the Rockies or ex-Rockies, Jacob Stallings, you might have seen, signed a minor league deal with the Baltimore Orioles, who are, they're hurting at least at catcher in a similar way to the Diamondbacks, who did end up putting Corbin Carroll on the IL. Adley Rutschman had an oblique strain from a couple days ago, so he's on the IL. You might have seen that play with Jazz Chisholm coming home and the rookie catcher Maverick Handley coming up the line just a little bit, and they collided. So he was placed on the concussion IL. Chadwick Trump, who I think began the season with Atlanta, he was selected to the roster. Gary Sanchez is on the 40-man roster, on the 26-man active roster. So right now it's Gary Sanchez, Chadwick Trump, and no one else. So Jacob Stallings filling in at AAA Norfolk. We'll see if he gets an opportunity in the majors. Garrett Hampson was picked up by the Cardinals. Nolan Arenado, did he vouch for Hampson? I mean, they did play together for a little while. Hampson's a good ball player. There's no doubt about it. This is Hampson's third team this season. And it got me thinking, he played with St. Louis, Cincinnati, and Arizona. Is he going to end up with a World Series ring? Is he going to end up with an NL championship ring? Because Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Diamondbacks, they're all right there in that wild card hunt. I think they're all on the outside looking in right now, but they're all in that wild card hunt. So if he can kick around maybe to one or two more teams just to spread things out, I'm sure that will very much increase the likelihood that he'll get an NL championship ring, but a World Series ring, we'll see. Again, that is why they play those games. Speaking of Cincinnati, Chase Burns making that debut, the number two overall pick in 2024, looked incredible over the first couple frames. Only lasted five innings against the Yankees, did allow three runs, no walks, eight strikeouts on 81 pitches, struck out the first five batters he faced. First starting pitcher in the expansion era, so that's 1961, to strike out the first five in their major league debut. Incredible. Good stuff from him. All-Star game voting update. There's a Dodger in the top two at every position in the outfield where they go top six, only one, but Andy Páez is right there at number seven. So you could get two in the outfield by Thursday when the window closes. I'm not sure if a team since 2022, and they started this version of voting, if there's been a team that's had somebody in the top two. It might have happened. Certainly there's been many times in which it's been close. When you have those kind of seasons and those kinds of fan bases, we'll wait and see. But Thursday today is when the window will officially close, and then we'll move on to phase two of the voting. The catching voting stayed virtually the same. You know, you still got Will Smith at the top, Carson Kelly number two, and then 3, 4, 5 all chasing and probably definitely too far away to make up the votes in the, you know, 2-3 days since that previous update. But Real Muto at number three, Francisco Alvarez, who's in AAA right now, still had more votes with that last update, more votes than Hunter Goodman, 446,000. So, you know, good for him to see that. Something that I saw that was, I'm pretty sure I saw what I saw. It was.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
It was my very first sighting of a Rocky City Connect 2.0 bootleg. Yes, I think it was a bootleg. Now, this was, I just saw it from the back. It was near Coors Field. There was no number on it. I imagine if there was a number, that would have made it stand out more and made it like obvious that it was either legit or fake. But the blue, it was the blue that was just a little too dark. The shade was too dark. The purple might have been too dark as well. Like the purple and the blue in this jersey that I saw, they had the same richness to it. So they played well with each other. But it was the blue. It wasn't like sky blue enough. It wasn't royal blue, but it was just a little bit too dark. No name on the back. Didn't get a chance to see the front. I wasn't going to try to whip around to see the front and cause some kind of accident. But I thought, oh yeah, I guess it's about time. You know, it's been a month or so. So it stands to reason you'd probably start to see some of those City Connect 2.0 bootlegs kicking around the Denver metro area. I'll be back tomorrow. Don't you worry, with some more on this Dodgers series before they head to Milwaukee. I'll preview the Brewers series coming up as they go on the road. And I keep forgetting where they go after Milwaukee. They start the month of July. Oh, that's right. It's only a one. Oh, wow. I did not realize that. That makes sense. Why I had such a mental blockage. They'll go away to Milwaukee for three games, and then they're back home immediately. Three against the Astros, three against the White Sox. And then, I don't think I've mentioned this on the pod, then they go away to Boston for three games at Fenway Park. I will be there. I will be covering that rematch of the 2007 World Series, Red Sox, Rockies, my second time at Fenway Park. First was a single solitary game in, I think it was 2006, long time ago. So first time in the press box, first time really doing up Boston in general. Both times that I've gone there was like for less than 24 hours. It was an in and out trip. And so I've never really gotten a feel for Boston. And what I did feel in those two trips, you know, I didn't necessarily dig. So I'm going to have a lot more time. I'll have a full day before that Red Sox series to get a lay of the land and do some sightseeing, exploring in Boston. So if you know any places that I need to check out, looking for some good eateries to go to, I got to be cautious because it can be very humid on the East Coast, specifically in the summertime. And there's nothing worse than when it's humid and it's hot and you have to wear pants, which I'll have to do in the press box. Not complaining, just informing. But there's nothing worse than having a full stomach, feeling bloated and sweating and it being humid out. So I got to be cautious. So I got to really cherry pick the spots and really suss out where I got to go. So please give me recommendations. I'm not going to have a car, so I'm really just going to be in that Fenway area. Got a place nearby. So give me your recommendations at Patrick D. Lyons on X. At Patrick D. Lyons, MLB on Blue Sky and Rockies Insider on all the social media platforms, including YouTube. You can even leave a comment on a random video and just say, hey, dude, I know you're going to Boston. This is where you have to go. So let me know where I have to go because I'm going to let you know right now. I really appreciate you dropping by, listening to this audio only edition. That kind of momentum that you provide me, man, it can keep me going for sure. But unfortunately, it's only as good as my next show. So until then, I'll talk to you tomorrow.